If I Could Turn Back Time. Written by Mana Shuri. Read by Opal Song. Fandom, Teen Wolf. Not rated. Relationship, Derek Styles. Also tagged for alternate reality, temporary time travel, and time travel fix it. Recorded for Anoyo for the Harvey Fan Aid auction.
With your loving, there ain't nothing that I can't adore. The way I'm running with you, honey, means we can break every law. I find it funny that you're the only one I never looked for. There is something in your loving that tears down my walls. I would have ready there, I'm ready now, I'm heading straight for you. Eternally, the one that I belong to. The sweetest emotion hit me like an explosion. All of my life I've been frozen. The sweetest devotion I know.
You know, sometimes I wish this had never happened. None of it. I wish Kate Argent had never been born. I wish Scott had never been turned. And that Peter Hale had had a normal life, Styles said. I'm tired of running around, scared for my life every few seconds. I want to be complacent with my spot as the bench warmer. I don't want to be running through the forest as fast as possible, wishing I had kept up with cardio. The pack fell silent as Styles' rant ran down, and he was just breathing heavily. He rubbed at his face and shook his head. I'm sorry. I'm exhausted and want to sleep. Derek was staring at him with hooded eyes that should have made Styles shiver, but all they really wanted to do was make him sleep even more. He shook his head at the Alpha and stumbled up the new stairs and into one of the guest rooms so he could find sleep. Styles woke up with the sun streaming in his eyes, which was weird, because he distinctly remembered going to bed at Derek's house, and he had blackout curtains for every room. He blinked his eyes a bit and rolled over. It was then that he realized he was in his own bed. Styles flailed around, trying to find his phone to call Scott. He finally found it on the floor, almost under his bed, and scrolled through his text messages to see if there was an explanation there. What he found just furthered his confusion. No messages from Derek, Lydia, or Jackson. Nothing about the group text he had sent out last night in regards to the pack meeting, or the barbecue he was having at his house that weekend. He frowned and looked around his room. Something was off. Styles dropped his phone back onto his bed and managed to scramble out of bed without getting tangled up in the sheets. He attacked his hiding spots, but found nothing. No diluted wolfsbane, no books on werewolf lore, nothing. There was nothing even slightly supernatural in his room. "Oh God," he whispered. He went to school like he did before, well, before Derek. Nothing seemed out of the ordinary there, except Allison wasn't attached to Scott's hip, like she was surgically implanted there after her move into town. He blinked when he saw her leaning against someone else's locker, and quickly walked past her and slapped Scott on the back. "Hey!" Scott frowned and nodded at him. "Hey. So, what would you do if you woke up in a world that wasn't yours?" The words were out before Styles could hold them back, and Scott just narrowed his gaze at him in confusion. "Huh? Is this one of your games again?" "No, I honest to God have woken up in the wrong universe. Scott laughed and shook his head before stuffing one of his books in his bag. Okay, Styles. No, Scott, I'm serious. He grabbed Scott's arm and tugged him close. This is me telling you the truth. Something happened. Scott frowned and shook his head. How do you even know that you woke up in the wrong universe? He asked. What's different? Well, first of all, I didn't wake up in the Hale house, which is where I went to bed. Second of all, I didn't have a text from Lydia or Jackson. And finally, you aren't a freaking werewolf, are you? Scott froze, and for a second, a blissful second, he thought he was wrong. And this was just his mind playing tricks on him. Seriously? A werewolf? I wish... Scott paused. Do you think I could make first string if I was a werewolf? Styles closed his eyes and sighed. He was, at the very least, comforted by the fact that Scott was the exact same person in this universe. He followed Scott off to first period with a sigh, and didn't notice a smaller girl staring at him in abject horror. Styles went through the rest of the school day in a daze. Classes were apparently 10 times easier when he didn't have the threat of werewolves and hunters breathing down his neck. Styles skipped out on practice, though, unwilling to sit there on the bench when he could be researching a way to get home. He made up something about lunch getting to him, and when Scott shrugged and told him to get better, Styles realized how much easier life was when he could still lie to Scott. He got home and dropped his bag by the front door, towing off his sneakers before running up the stairs and into his room. He closed his door out of habit, and then paused, because he wasn't harboring a really handsome fugitive werewolf in his room, and the same werewolf wouldn't be popping up in the middle of the night just to use his computer. He sighed and shook his head before throwing himself into his computer chair and pulling up Google. What do you do when you wake up in the wrong universe? He spoke as he typed, before quickly pressing enter. He blinked at the results and sighed, before trying a few other phrases. None of them really worked, though, and he twirled around in his chair a few times. He let out a squeak of surprise when he saw Derek crouching on his windowsill. Oh, thank God, he breathed out, moving to stand and walk over to him. Well, until Derek's sour wolf side came out, and he was pinned against the wall, intense blue eyes staring him down. How do you know? Styles was being choked, though, and motioned towards his neck. That was going to bruise. Derek released him, though, and Styles gasped for breath. Because, well, it's a long story, but the most important thing is that I am from another universe. Derek scowled and went to slam him into the wall again, but paused, his eyes growing large. You're telling the truth? Styles scoffed. Duh, you can't lie to werewolves. Styles slipped out from underneath Derek's arm and flopped out on his bed. Dude, that is going to bruise, he said, rubbing at his throat. Sorry, Derek offered, staring at him with a strange expression on his face. Styles blinked and looked at him. I think my hearing is going. Did you just say sorry? Derek Hale said sorry. I need to record this for future reference. Derek frowned at him in confusion. Okay, Styles continued. So, your eyes were blue when you wolfed out, so you're not the alpha? Is Peter the alpha here? Derek growled, but shook his head. No, it's my dad. Styles froze. Your dad is alive? Derek looked up at him, his eyes going bright blue. What do you mean he's alive? Of course. Of course he's alive. Oh, God, Styles started. In my world, Your family died from a fire set by hunters. Styles watched as Derek's face paled, which he didn't think could happen to a werewolf. Wait, if your parents aren't dead, hold on. Styles scrambled over to his desk, his heart beating out of control as he tore up his room, looking for pictures. Maybe she was at work, or something this morning. What are you doing? If your family is alive, maybe by some twist of fate, my mom is alive. Oh, Derek said, and he could hear the sad, pitiful tone he had heard before. She's not, Styles said flatly, before swallowing and shaking his head. Never mind, back to the story. So, obviously, you didn't get it on with Kate Argent here, which means there was no fire, which means that Peter didn't go crazy from loss, which means that Scott didn't get bitten, and then we've never met. Good for you, keeping your hormones in check and all that. Styles smiled brightly at him. I have no idea what you just said, Derek informed him. That's the point. Look, I'm not going to tell. I mean, who would believe me? But I know you have a huge-ass library in your house. So can you do me a favor and try to see if I triggered some, I don't know, curse? To do that, I would have to know how you know that I have a huge library in my house. Because I've been to the burned-out shell of it, okay? Styles snapped. I just want to go home. Your little pack is falling apart without me, okay? I'm important. Derek watched him carefully. Okay. I'll help. But my mom would probably be a bigger help. Or Laura. Styles snorted. If I'm allowed in the house, I would be a better help. Derek fidgeted and looked at him, which was ridiculously weird to watch. His Derek was not a creature of motion. He was still. This Derek wasn't. Keep your weekend free, was all he said before slipping out of the window. Styles shook his head and watched him leave. Apparently, no werewolf knows how to use a door. Styles kept his weekend free and was rewarded when Derek stuck his head in the window on Saturday morning. Hello, Sour Wolf, Styles said, rolling over to look at him from his bed. How well do we know each other in your world? Derek asked, flopping out into Styles' computer chair. You have a pack. I pretty much run it with you, Styles said, before stretching and rolling out of bed. He grabbed a t-shirt off the floor and threw it over his head. He turned around to grab a pair of jeans out of his dresser, but stumbled to a stop when he saw the way Derek was looking at him. He wasn't sure how to phrase the expression, or even begin to talk about it, so instead he quickly looked away and continued to his dresser. But yeah, he continued, suddenly nervous about this. I mean, Scott's a big dumb puppy, but he's like a brother to me. And then there's Jackson, who's cool when you get used to him. And Lydia is the smartest person I know, he said, as he pulled on a pair of jeans. He finally looked back at Derek and grinned. And, of course, me, who is awesome. Derek quirked his lips in an approximation of a smile, and Styles took that as a win. Do I have to jump out the window with you? Is that a werewolf thing? My Derek never answered if it was a werewolf thing. Derek snorted and shook his head. I'll meet you by my car. Right, Styles said with a laugh, and Derek was back outside the window already. Styles stumbled down the stairs, grabbing his wallet and keys out of his bag. He locked the door behind him and turned around, only to not see the black Camaro that he was expecting. Dude, where's your car? He asked, looking at the total mom car in front of him. What? Derek asked. This is my car. No, you drive a Camaro. A black, sleek, wonderful Camaro. No, that's what my sister wants, and Mom won't let her have. That honestly makes a lot of sense. You have a mom, so you have a mom car. Styles nodded and clambered into the front seat before buckling his seatbelt. So, what did you tell your parents? Styles fiddled around with some change in the drink holder. The truth. Styles nodded. Right, werewolf, lies, that sort of thing. Must suck when you're trying to sneak out of the house, though. Styles paused and then tilted his head. How did you know that I knew about werewolves? Natalie heard you talking to some kid about it and freaked out. Styles frowned and tilted his head. Natalie? My younger sister. Derek looked at him oddly. You know me, but you've never met Natalie? No, I... When I said your family was killed, I meant all of it. You and Laura were at school. I guess Natalie wasn't. Styles felt sick to his stomach at the thought of it. He had known, logically, that Kate had killed Derek's whole family. But this was sick. Derek was silent, and Styles was staring at his hands, no longer fiddling with the change. He took a deep breath to stave off a panic attack. He was bringing so much sadness into this Derek's life. Just forget I said anything. He didn't look up until he heard the crunch of gravel, just in time to see the Hale house in all of its glory. Oh, wow, Styles said, his eyes big. This is where you live? Yeah. And if pressed, Styles would label Derek's tone as uncomfortable. There's a lot of us. No, yeah, pack and all that, Styles said, stumbling out of the car when Derek slammed his door behind him. The door was the same, but not. It wasn't hanging on the hinges like a strong wind would knock it down. The porch in front of him was well-maintained, and there was even a swing. Every facet of the house looked bright and cheery, not haunted by the occupants and Derek's guilt. Come on, Derek said, holding the door open for him. My mom wants to meet you. Everyone else is at a meeting with the closest pack to discuss some, boundary issues. Right, Styles said, and followed Derek inside the house, amazed by the simple fact that there was furniture. I can do this. I can meet Derek Hale's mom, he muttered to himself. I just gotta keep my cool. He ignored Derek's derisive snort from in front of him as he walked towards the kitchen. Mom, that Styles kid is here. Styles heard a muffled noise as they walked towards the kitchen and was presented with a miniature female Derek Hale, who had to be Natalie. She was sitting on the counter, swinging her legs back and forth with a bowl in her lap. She was stirring something. On the other side of the kitchen was a woman that looked like what he presumed Laura Hale did, alive and older. He stuttered to a stop and gave them both a small smile. This is Styles, Derek told them, moving towards the refrigerator. Hi, Styles, Natalie said brightly, waving a spoon at him and flinging cookie dough everywhere, prompting a laugh from Derek. Styles froze and stared at Derek, and then back at Natalie, and then at Derek's mother, who was giving him a small smile. This was the worst thing he could have done. I have to use the restroom. Excuse me. He turned back around and ignored Derek's directions. I know, it's on the left, and I know not to touch the janky piece of drywall, whatever. Styles slipped into the bathroom and slammed the door shut behind him. Oh, God, I'm not having a panic attack here in the Hale house that looks perfectly fine, he told himself, turning to look in the mirror. He looked ridiculous, but then he always did. At least that was the same in this universe. Derek's mom is alive. Derek knows how to laugh. Derek has a younger sister that is also alive. This is all normal. Styles ran the water and let it trickle over his hands before splashing his face. I just need to breathe, Styles took a deep breath and held it for as long as possible before gasping for air. This is not okay. He was startled for a second when there was a knock on the door. Sweetie, this is Derek's mom. Are you okay? Styles stared at the door in amazement. Derek Hale had a mother. I'm going to come in if you don't answer me. No! Styles squawked, moving to open the door. I'm fine. I'm sorry. I think this was a mistake. He was met with an intense stare and a quirked eyebrow that gave away where Derek had gotten it. You just want to get back home. She placed a hand on his upper arm and gently squeezed. Anyone else would be doing the same. Right, Styles said faintly. Why don't you come to the library? Derek, Natalie, and I have pulled some books we think might help. Okay, yeah, research. Research is my thing in any universe. She gave him a small smile. The library is right through here, but I suspect you already knew that. Styles flushed and shrugged. We're in the process of remodeling the house. Well, the lower half, anyways. The upper half is already rebuilt and looks nice. A sad look passed over her face for a moment, before she smiled at him and nodded. It's good. I'm glad. She paused. I'm glad Derek has friends like you that are trying to get back to him. She paused in front of the door to the library and pulled him into a hug. Styles wasn't sure if this was a mom thing or a werewolf thing, but Melissa didn't randomly pull him into hugs, so maybe it was a werewolf mom thing. Hours later, Styles was half asleep on some old manuscript that wasn't helping him at all when a plate of cookies was shoved into his face. Styles blinked and sat up to look at Derek. Don't tell Natalie if you think they're burnt. Styles frowned and looked at the cookies before shrugging. Do you honestly think I'm going to pause long enough to taste them? Come on, dude. You know me. Styles paused with a cookie halfway to his mouth. Or not. Derek sat down beside him and pulled one of the books from the stack. Right. Any leads? Stop it. I already read that one. Styles said, smacking his hand away from the book and putting it back in the pile. You're messing with my piles. Derek stared at him and then looked at his hand and back at Styles. What? Styles snapped, then stuffed his face with cookie. I don't know what you're talking about. These cookies are awesome. Right. I'm going to tell Nat that you think that, Derek said, looking at him oddly, and then bolting. Well, at least he still doesn't know how to talk to, like, anyone, Styles mused, flipping through the book. It was late that evening when the rest of the family stumbled through the door of the Hale house, and he could hear as the house came back alive with laughter and subdued conversation. He crept out of the library to catch Derek talking to his dad, a smile on his face. Styles' heart skipped a beat, and he tried scurrying back into the library, but somehow he had caught Peter Hale's eye. His heart skipped a few beats, for an entirely different reason, and he watched as the man stalked towards him. Is this your friend, Derek? Styles stumbled backwards. Oh, hi, Peter. How's it going? Derek's head snapped up and he looked over at Peter, and then Styles. Suddenly, Styles was being edged behind Peter. A throat cleared and Derek's dad walked over to them. Is there a problem? Nope, Styles said, with plenty of false cheer. No problems. Nothing. No problems. Everything is A-okay. Peter quirked an eyebrow at Styles, glancing at Derek, and then turned away with a huff of laughter. His dad raised an eyebrow at Styles. He attempted to give him his most winning of smiles, and wondered if this is how Scott felt when he met the Argents. He paled a bit when he realized that comparison would make Derek his boyfriend. Actually, I was just heading home to the sheriff, my dad, who is going to be home soon. Thank you so much for letting me borrow your library. His dad shrugged and gave him an easygoing smile. It's fine. Anything for our pack, son, he said, before turning around and heading up the stairs. Make sure he gets home safe, Derek. Stiles stared after Mr. Hale for what seemed like an eternity. Do I smell... I smell like pack here, too? Derek tilted his head and nodded. I wouldn't have let you come here otherwise. Right, Stiles said, and nodded. Right, I should be going home. Let me grab my keys, Derek said. The next day he found himself in the Hale library again, dodging texts from Scott, who was surprisingly clingy without Allison to hang on to. He was digging through a book when Natalie was suddenly sitting across from him. Oh God, you learned that from Derek, didn't you? Or is there a book in here called How to Be a Ninja Werewolf? Natalie grinned and shook her head. So, she said, you smell like my brothers. Well, I am part of his pack. Stiles looked confused. No, you smell like his mate. Oh, Stiles said, staring at her. Are you his mate in the other world thingy? She asked, her eyes big. Laura doesn't even have a mate yet, and I don't want to ask Mom about it. That's gross. I don't even know what? Natalie paused and then frowned at him. He didn't tell you? The Derek in my world is so emotionally constipated that I'd never heard him laugh until yesterday, Stiles admitted. Unless it was at my pain, but I don't count that usually. Oh, you have to remember that he doesn't have you there, or Laura, or your mom or dad. He intentionally left off Peter. It's just him and a ragtag bunch of teenagers that drive him up the wall because he's so used to being alone. There isn't a lot to smile for. If, when you get home to your Derek, ask him to smile for me and watch my favorite movie. It's Dirty Dancing, by the way. Stiles stared at her and nodded. Of course. Thank you, she said, and yanked him over his chair to hug him. He awkwardly patted her on the back as she sniffled into his neck. Of course, after that, everyone wanted to ask him to do something for Derek. Laura came in and asked him to take care of her car, or she'd haunt him for life. Peter asked Stiles to tell him to read a book on flirting for dummies, and Stiles wasn't exactly sure if that was a joke or not. His dad sits him down and asks him to keep taking care of Derek and not let him get consumed with his grief. It's not until he's in the middle of a baking session with Mrs. Call Me Jill, Really Hale that it hits him that they all seriously think he's Derek's mate. His hand jerked, and eggshells fell into the bowl. Sorry, he said as he backed away from the bowl, with his hands in the air. Jill looked at him with a bemused look and shook her head. Stiles, it's fine. Is this because of Derek, or because you think I'm his mate? She stopped trying to dig the bits of eggshell out of the bowl and looked at him. Honestly, a little of both. I'm not. He's not. We're not. What do you know about mates? She asked, moving to dump the eggs into the bowl with the other ingredients and handing it to him to start mixing. Not a lot. Most of the stuff on the internet is pretty disturbing, and a lot of the books were lost in the fire. Derek isn't very forthcoming with information. Stiles paused. He's pretty emotionally constipated. Jill laughed and shook her head. Have you said that to his face? He wolfed out on me and slammed me into a wall. Her eyebrows rose, and she looked over at him. And you still want to go back to him? Yes, Styles said, putting the bowl on the counter. I mean, I like it here. I really, really do. Derek is happy. Scott doesn't have to worry about wolfing out in the middle of the lacrosse field. But I don't have my pack here. I miss everyone. It's not until he's blinking away tears that he realized that he was crying. The first thing you said was about Derek, Jill says, pulling him into a hug. That's what a mate is. She smooths her hand over his head. You are not afraid of him. You're willing to challenge him, push him to be a better person, the person he's supposed to be. But most of all, you want him to be happy. Not because you're Pack, but because his happiness is one of the most important parts of your life. They stood there for what seemed like forever, until the moment was ruined when Derek stumbled into the kitchen and stared at them like a deer caught in the headlights. Styles pulled away and sniffed, rubbing at his eyes. You have the emotional range of a teaspoon, he informed Derek. Thanks for ruining the moment. Derek gave him a look that was honestly more suited for Scott and looked over Styles' shoulder and around the kitchen. Are you teaching him how to make my cake? Yes, it's not for you, though, Styles said, and then frowned. Well, it is. Jill shooed Derek out of the kitchen. You aren't allowed to learn how. Styles stuck his tongue out at Derek from behind Jill's back and laughed at the surprised look on Derek's face. While the cake was cooking, she tilted her head like Scott did when he was concentrating on listening. I'm going to teach you a very secret recipe now, she informed him. More secret than the cake? Styles asked. More secret than the cake, she confirmed. It's been passed down in my family for a very, very long time, but you have to be married to get the recipe. She paused and looked down. I'm not there to give it to Derek, so you have to. Oh, Styles said. Wow. This is big. Oh gosh, I don't know if I can handle this sort of responsibility. Yes, you can. It's pretty simple. She paused. It comes from a can. Wait, that's the secret? She nodded and he burst into laughter. You can't tell Derek. Just make it for him when he's sick or sad. Add whatever spices you have lying around. That make a regular can of chicken noodle soup into spicy chicken noodle soup, and tell him it's my recipe. The secret is that it comes from a can. That is the best thing I've ever heard in my life. Jill smiled at him and shushed him just before the timer on the cake dinged at them. Styles realized he wasn't trying to get back anymore one weekend when he was flopped out on the porch, watching Natalie and Derek tackle each other, their laughter floating over to the porch. He'd been here a month and had exhausted every resource they had. He had a feeling he wouldn't be there much longer, though. Not when Derek's laughter shot an arrow through his heart, and just looking at his smile made him miss his Derek more than ever. The sun was starting to set when Derek flopped out beside him, and Natalie ran inside to change out of her muddy clothes. I think I'm going home tonight, Styles said, staring at the horizon. What? Derek looked up at him. It's just a feeling, but I guess you'll know tomorrow. Styles tilted his head. Hey, if I don't call you tomorrow, can you do me a favor? Derek looked at him, his eyes turning sad. Sure. Styles turned his body, so he was resting on his knee, and leaned in to press a kiss to Derek's lips. Find me? Derek stared at him and nodded. I was going to do that anyway. Good, Styles said, resting his forehead against Derek's. You're going to have to tell me the truth, but I think I'll handle it better when I'm not scrambling for scraps of information. Styles murmured. Derek smiled. But I love you. When Styles woke up, he wasn't in his own bed. Instead, he wakes up in one of the guest rooms in the Hale House, in what he knows used to be Natalie's old room. He smoothed out the comforter and sat there for a few minutes, breathing in the smell of the house. It's not what he'd grown used to, but it's still achingly familiar. He slipped out of bed and walks down the stairs. It's still dark out, so he must have just gone upstairs in this world. "Derek?" he called as he reached the bottom of the stairs. Derek looked up from the conversation he was having with Lydia and froze, his eyes roving over Styles. "What?" His voice breaks. Styles blinked in confusion. "Oh, God, do I smell like them? They knew that I smelled like you. It crossed over. Oh, God, I do, don't I?" Styles was shoved against the wall again, and it wasn't a familiar feeling anymore. "Your mother would be appalled," Styles says, as Derek buried his nose into the crook of Styles' neck. "How do you smell like them?" "It's a long story, but I think a fairy granted my wish earlier," Styles informed him. "I got to live in a world without Kate Argent for a whole month." Derek froze, and Styles could hear Lydia gasp. "Which means there was no fire. I got to meet your little sister. She's incredibly nice. I know she doesn't get it from you, Sour Wolf. Except she sort of does." Styles ran a smoothing hand over Derek's back and looked over his shoulder at the rest of the pack. Scott was staring at Styles in amazement until Lydia caught his eye and started herding the rest of them out of the house. "She says to smile, by the way, and watch Dirty Dancing for her. Sane Peter says to read a book about flirting for dummies. I'm not sure if he was joking or not. But you are emotionally constipated, so it might be a good idea." Derek's breath hitched, and Styles hummed a bit as he rubbed Derek's back. "It's okay. They love you. Your mom taught me how to make your cake, and her famous Get Better soup. But I'm not telling you the secret of it, because I know you wouldn't believe me. She made me promise not to tell you. Just make it when you're sick or sad. Your dad said to stop wallowing in guilt and try to be happy for them. And you know what Laura said? That you better take care of her car or she'd haunt you." Styles paused and pulled away. "You know you drove a mom car over there? It was awesome to see you driving a minivan." Derek's eyes were red, the sort of red you get from trying to hold back tears. "Shh, it's okay. You can cry," Styles said, reaching up to cup his face. "I would be crying too." "That doesn't comfort me," Derek finally spoke. "It was worth a try. Should I try making some spicy chicken soup?" "Can I just smell you?" "Of course," Styles said. "But the other you told me to get our act together," Styles told him, and leaned up to press a kiss to his lips. Styles leaned back and ran a hand over Derek's hair, like Jill had done for Styles. "Come on, let's go rest upstairs. I'll tell you some stories." Styles led Derek up the stairs, walking backwards to keep holding Derek's hands. He walked them into Derek's room, pressing kisses to his face and leading them to the bed. "They love you so much," he told him. "I love you so much. I worked so hard to get back here. I couldn't leave you, even if there was a you already there." Derek leaned on him and sighed. Styles flopped onto Derek's bed and looked up at him. "I kept thinking of you all alone in this house without me, and I couldn't stand it. Every smile you gave me just made me sadder." Derek crawled onto the bed and shook his head. "But you came back." "Of course I did." Styles grabbed his hands. Derek actually smiled, and Styles melted. "Smiles mean more from you," Styles whispered, leaning up to kiss him again. But Derek met him halfway this time. "Good," Derek mumbled against his lips, before ducking away to press a kiss to the crook of his neck. "You're mine."
"I'm your mate."
Derek looked up sharply at that before relaxing.
"Yeah," he breathed out. "Yeah, you are."
The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/Opalsong. Thanks for listening!